Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this group of people that's come to hear from you today. Dear Lord, we just thank you for their hearts, their souls, dear Lord, but just give them the openness to accept the word that you're going to be preaching today. And we thank you for Brother Chad as he brings this message. We thank you for your faithfulness. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Dear Lord, you do so much for each and every one of us. Sometimes we let go unnoticed, dear Lord, but always let us remember is through you the things that happen to us, the good things. Dear Lord, we thank you for that. Again, we love you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. Happy New Year. If you would, grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. As you are turning there, just want to first off just say thank you. I haven't seen her yet this morning, but anyway, so thankful of Julia helping out last week with the potter and the clay. So thankful for her. This is her business as she makes pottery and sells that, and anyway, does a great job. So thankful that she's willing to jump in and trust me to use her in that way. Today we will use that same picture as we talked about and last week. If you were here, hopefully you were able to identify where you were at as far as in your walk and God's plan and the purpose that he has for you. If not, what we did was we started looking and just sought to understand God's picture as he told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and to watch the potter. We started with just a lump of clay and how that lump of clay is us before us knowing Jesus. I took the lump of clay out and just threw it into the gravel, and there was dirt and grass and everything all over it. And I asked Julia if she could use that just clump of clay, and she said no. She says, even if I could make something out of it, as soon as it was put into the kiln, it would explode because of the imperfections. And so for us, we needed, just like that lump of clay, would need some sort of transformation to happen. All of the imperfections would need to be pulled out of it. And the same is true for you and for me. But once we have been transformed, once we have trusted in Christ, we are like that new piece of clay on the wheel or in the hands of the potter, ready for the potter to make us into what he wants us to be and to be used for his purpose. And I think that that's very important. And so that kind of guided our discussion, asking the question, do you know your purpose? And today we will follow that up with, what is your purpose? And so over the next few weeks, we will look at some of the commands that the Bible tells of us, things that we should be doing, things that that God has created us for. Today, what we will look at is we were created, or God's purpose is that we bring glory to the Father, that we glorify God. And the reason for that is that as we live our lives, is that we should live in such a way, or as Jesus would say, that our light would so shine in such a way that when people see our good deeds and our good works, that they would glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so we see throughout the Bible this call to glorify, to worship, to lift up God for who he is. And today in the passage that we'll look at, Paul will challenge us. And he will say, therefore, and one of the things that we'll see any time in the Bible when we come to that word therefore, we must ask, what is that therefore, right? And it always points to what has been said before then. Well, in this case, 11 chapters, Paul has laid out who God is and God's grace and love that he has shown upon us. That we see that even though we were sinners, and even though we have traded the and worshiped the created things instead of the Creator, that we have a God who loves us. And this God is all-knowing. He has all authority. And so therefore, you and I, in response, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. And that is our prayer today. And we're going to unpack what that looks like. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? And as we talk about this total surrender, this sacrifice of self, really the call, and we see throughout Jesus' teachings, is that you and I are to put to death the old self. And if we're to put to death the old self, then that means that we are to come and to die, to truly find life. And that isn't real clear. What does that mean? What does it mean to die to self? What does it mean to put the old self to death? What does it mean, as we're going to see, where a wheat must die before it can grow? What does all that even mean? And I think that sometimes we discuss these things, but it's not seen or clearly understood of what God is even asking us to do. And it is my prayer that today that you will join me in this discussion, that we will start to learn what it means to put my old self to death. Because this is my fear. My fear is that in Christianity, or much of Christianity today, just adds Jesus onto a life that they're already living. And so we continue to flirt with the things of the world and even be entertained by the same ways of the people of the world, and in many cases even run after sin in the same way of the people of the world. And so in today's passage, it will tell us to no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed. You see, that is a work of God. That is something that He does, is transform us. But also, just like the clay in the hands of the potter, we are to be moldable. We are to be willing participants in this, and that requires surrender. And so, as you and I approach the Word of God today and ask this question, what is my purpose? How do I bring glory to God? Then I think that we need to clearly understand that it's a call to come and to be different. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. And so, what does that look like? How do we do that? As you can see, we have much to get into. So, if you don't mind, if you would like to, we're going to, just in honor of God's Word, stand as we read it. We will begin in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. So here he's obviously talking, calling them brothers. These are fellow believers, those who have trusted in Jesus. And then he gives this challenge. Now, again, he says, therefore. So what he has said previous to this, as I mentioned in the 11 chapters leading up to this, he has unpacked the mercies of God, the grace that has been shown to us, that even though we have sinned against God, He loves us, He has a plan for us. And even if you were to just back up a couple of verses, verse 33 of chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. In other words, he's saying, man, God's ways are higher than our ways. No one can understand what He does, His decisions. We are not God, and thank God for that, right? But for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So, verse 1 of chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, we are thankful for your word. We ask that today, Lord, that we would do just that, that we would surrender our whole lives, every aspect of our lives to you, that we would love you above all things with our heart, mind, soul, strength, and that, God, that we would follow you, that there would be a willing obedience in each one of us to do according to your plan and your will, and even as this passage says, that we would seek to discern and to know your will and therefore follow it. So God, lead us, help us to glorify you in what we say, what we do. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. If our purpose is to glorify God, then we need to know how to do that. And if we're called to be a living sacrifice, then what does that even mean? Well, first, if we look at a sacrifice, if we look at an Old Testament sacrifice, then the people would have brought a lamb, a sheep, goat, calf, bull, to be sacrificed. And this sacrifice would ultimately give its life so that sins could be forgiven. Now, this was a temporary sacrifice because a sufficient sacrifice was always promised. One would come. And so now, even today, there are no longer sacrifices being given. But in that, we see this picture of a sacrifice. Now, in a sacrifice, then it would be offered to God on behalf of what he would do, which would ultimately bring forgiveness. And when you get that picture, you start to see now this call as a living sacrifice. It's no longer going to be a dead sacrifice like the animals, but it is one that is ongoing. It is ongoing because it's a living sacrifice, and so daily there is this surrender. Daily there is this coming before the Lord, here I am. And in that, as a living sacrifice, we present our bodies holy and acceptable to God. Now, the only way you and I can be holy or acceptable to God is because of what Jesus has already done. But what a great picture to even show that that is meant that you and I, as we are restored back to the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God in the garden, they were holy. They were without sin. You and I, that is the goal, is that we too become holy. We live our lives in such a way that sin is no longer a part of what we actively do. And I think that in much of Christianity, we have justified our actions instead of wanted to hear that. We would much rather just justify, well, this is just who I am. This is just what I do. This is the way God made me. Instead of realizing that he has placed himself in you by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead you and I to live holy lives. And so, now, will we mess up? Yes. And as we do, we come to him and we repent, we turn from that, we allow him to renew our thinking and our mind to where we can lift him up and we can glorify him in what we do. But you see, the heart of the matter is that we become like him and we seek to do that. So to glorify God will require surrender. And so we'll unpack what surrender is, but before we do, just to remind you of some of the calls for us to bring glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 would say, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. 1 Peter 4, 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. There is this clear call that you and I live in such a way that God is glorified. He is honored that we live lives worthy of the price that has been paid for us on the cross. Now, much of Christianity, you see, it can be confusing. Because we experience these things that God does in our life, and sometimes we will point to those experiences and almost even maturity or gauge our maturity by how we experience things. And so, for instance, I was talking to a guy one time, and he says, you know, I've experienced this and this and this, and almost in a boastful way of some of the things that he had experienced, and yet, in the very moment in which he was telling me these things, he was not experiencing victory over certain sin in his life. And I cautioned him that if you just jump from one experience to the next, then all you're doing is almost worshiping the experience instead of walking with and in the power of the Spirit that God has given you. And see, there's a danger in that. Yes, there are great experiences that we have in Jesus. Yes, he overcomes. Yes, he fulfills. There is a joy that is unspeakable, but it is a It is a relationship that he's called us to walk with him and to abide in him. And that is one that I think that we do as we surrender. And so, this call, as you see, therefore offer your bodies as living sacrifices, not a come to gain. It's not come gain more from God, but it's a come and give more. It is a come sacrifice. It is a come die to self. And as we die to self, then and only then do we position ourselves in such a way that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us. And so we come, we sacrifice, we die. First thing I want you to see is surrender removes the barrier of self. Surrender and self-sacrifice removes self. It gets self out of the way. Our fallen nature is always going to be leaning towards self-centeredness, self-protection, self-exalting even. And the flesh or old self constantly competes with God for that place upon the throne of our heart. And so think about this. Every time that God would lead you to do something that is uncomfortable, your old flesh or yourself will begin to cry out, well, you can't do that. I can't do that. That's uncomfortable. I don't know how that's going to happen. Think of the first time you've ever done something that required faith, whether that was to teach or to step out or share the gospel or maybe even just to stand and proclaim that you gave your life to Jesus. Whatever the case is, there's always this element of fear because I don't know what's going to happen. But I want to tell you that it is that element of fear, it is those moments of faith that I believe that there are so many Christians that miss out on experiencing the very promises of God because they don't put faith into action. If I always know what's going to happen, it requires zero faith to come to church and to go to small group and to even start to make tweaks in my life. That didn't require any faith at all. What does require faith is when God calls us to do something that we trust His promises and put that into action. Amen? But it's uncomfortable, it's fearful, but it's required, and it's actually commanded. And so you and I must start to realize when those moments are, because if we cling to control or comfort or reputation or even my personal plans, then the will of God will continue to be left undone and unfollowed. And so we must then surrender. I love how Paul put this in Galatians chapter 2. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so you see that. If you and I will start to see our old self or our old nature as being crucified with Christ, like that's gone, then as soon as that flesh starts to rise up, we can recognize it and we can say, no. That's the old me. I'm a new creation. And the new creation is like Christ. And so therefore, if something starts to rise up that's not like Jesus, I can immediately start to put it to death. But you see, instead, we start to coddle the old self, and we start to feel bad for the old self. Well, I'm not fully changed yet. And we start to allow that old self to creep in. And we start to justify the actions of the old self. We start to justify even the personality of the old self. Well, that's the shy. That's just who God created me to be. And I just want to remind you that when you surrendered your life to Jesus, you placed yourself in the hands of the potter, and you gave up the ability to then decide who or what you will do. You're in the hands of the potter. And so therefore, you let him form you. Therefore, you allow him to use you for the purpose that he has designed. You surrender. And so, surrender not only does it remove the barrier of self, but it also is at the heart of true worship. It is only when we surrender that we can truly worship, because then we can worship in spirit and in truth. I love how the Word of God just provides us with this worship. This letter that we are able to hold and to have all points to the worship of God, and it leads us to that. And I love even how Romans is written here in such a way that these first 11 chapters all unpacked what God has done and his love for us and the grace that has been shown, the gospel that is now laid out, that you and I can be made new. And then it says, therefore, here we are, our response will be that we are to be this living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And to do that will require us to surrender and to worship, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Worship is not just singing, although our worship team does such a good job leading us to the throne and exalting Jesus. But worship should come with everything that we do. God, I worship you, and so therefore I will honor you. God, I worship you, and so I'll obey you. God, I worship you, and I just want you to know, there are all sorts of things that lead us to do things. Fear is one of the ways that leads you, or there's a reason why you do certain things, and it's because of fear. You are scared that someone's going to make fun of you, and so you don't do certain things. You're worried about what people think, and so therefore you do other things. There are all sorts of motivations, and fear, at least in the biblical standpoint as a Christian, is one of the worst motivations. Now, and immediately you think, well, what about hell? Well, yes, we see that. And I think fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? So I'm not talking about, but there's this part that I believe that come overwhelmingly will be a better motivator even than fear, and that is one of gratitude. Because when you start to think about over and over, when you think about who you were before Jesus and him going to the cross, and now who he has made you, this gratitude to realize that I was an object of wrath, I was bound for a real place of separation, but because of Jesus, because of my God and his love for me, then now my response is, whatever you want me to do, here I am. I'm so grateful that he counted me worthy to be a part of what he is doing. And so surrender is at the very heart of worship. Surrender, number three, is where we find true life and freedom as well. In John 12, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You and I must realize that we truly gain life when we come to Jesus and we die to self. We get ourselves out of the way. We worship him in a right understanding. And not only that, as we see here in verses 1 and 2, it's our spiritual worship. Like, this is how we worship, is by coming to him as a complete surrender, as a sacrifice to him. And then it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So not only does it lead us, do we find life and freedom, but also what it does, surrender opens the door to God's power and transformation. We start to realize what his will is. I'm asked often, or at least people will often communicate, well, one day, or God's will for my life is this, and we're always looking for one day. And I've just found that if I'll be obedient with what I already know his commands are, that those will always lead me to his will, because it's discernible. And this is the truth, such a great promise, is that as you and I walk with and test and hear from and be led by his Spirit, we will be able to know his will, and that's very important. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So the only ones that will know God and walk with God and truly be forgiven are those who know the will of God. Well, how do we know the will of God? Well, we know the will of God because he shows it to us. We know the will of God because he's transformed us and he leads us to his will. This isn't some sort of works based. Well, it's the one who's obedient, and so therefore he's the one. No, it's what Christ has done, and he's transformed us. And now, according to verse 2 here, the renewal of our mind has been made new, and so therefore we have the ability to discern what the will of God is. And you know what that requires? It requires you and I coming to the very presence of God, saying, God, here I am. Speak to me. Show me. We dive in and we open the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to renew our thinking. Like, it changes us. And so we're able to come to the world with a biblical perspective of how the world works. Our worldview completely changes as He renews our mind, because we start to read and we begin to go, whoa, why did Jesus do that? That was pretty countercultural. And then we immediately start to be led that, man, I'm to do the same thing. I'm to look at people completely different. I'm to forgive instead of retaliate. I'm to love and encourage instead of tear down. I'm to be selfless instead of selfish. All these things start to come as we allow God to renew our mind. And so we allow Him to transform us. I love even, it changes the way that we see many different things. For instance, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul responds, he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly with my weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, it changes even the way that Paul saw his own strength. He saw it in a way that he would come, and it's in his weakness that he would come before the Lord and know that that's where strength is found, because then he's able to trust in God for that. Last thing I want you to see, surrender aligns us with God's perfect will. As I mentioned, we now can know God's will and we can follow it. And as the Spirit leads us, we start to then know what we're to do each day. And I think that so many times just a partially surrendered life will be conflicted, because there will always be a battle that is waging. But if I come surrendered, then when things happen, I'm going to use Gary just because I know I can and he'll be okay with it. So Gary Yarbrough over here, just so you know, Gary was recently chosen to be the Employee of the Year. He loves that I just said that. Anyway, that's not why I'm using him, but Gary Yarbrough over here was diagnosed with leukemia, right, Gary? And so Gary had to walk through all that you would imagine someone with leukemia would, with different treatments. But even before all of that started, is you have the mental side, the battle. Is this going to kill me? Then the family. Is he going to die? The calling out to God. God, save me, heal me. Then you have the day-to-day, the pain, the sickness. Then you have the moments where, do I even care? Then you have the moments of strength. God, whatever you want, I'm willing. Then you have the inconveniences. Now you've got to travel to Houston. You've got to go through the treatments. On one such trip, Gary gets on a plane, and there's a lady there, and Gary's able to share his story with her. And he says, you know, and he does it, and he shares of the hope. If God takes me home, I know him, he's good. If he heals me, then I know that he's good, and he's going to have opportunities for me to be able to encourage others even as I walk through all of this. And that woman looked at him with tears in her eyes, and she says, today, I'm that person. And he was able to point to her and talk and brag upon what God has done and is doing, even in the midst of what could have been fear, what could have been all the things that you would imagine would plague and run all through your mind. It changes the way then we see everything. If I'm just clay in the potter's hands, then whatever happens to me in life, I can endure, Because I have a God who will rework me or remold me or shape me or use me for a purpose I didn't even know he wanted to use me in. But if everything is about me and I'm at the center, then leukemia is an inconvenience at the very best, and at the worst could rob me of everything I ever wanted. But in the hands of a potter, leukemia is just another day in the plan of God. And I'm going to be used for his purpose. I don't know where you are at. I don't know if you even understood that when you surrendered your life to Jesus, that that's literally what you were doing. You were coming to surrender everything. Now, some preacher may have said, you get to have heaven. All you got to do is repeat some words. Listen, forgive me. That's blasphemy. What it is, listen to me. What Jesus came, he said, come and die. Follow me. Pick up your cross. Surrender it all. And you will find life. I want to tell you, there is a purpose. And the reason why Jesus went to the cross. And it's not just so that you can feel better and live your life and come to church and do these things. All those are great. But it was for a purpose. And the purpose is for you to bring glory to him. And you bring glory to him by being obedient to him and following him and walking with him and abiding in him. Francis Chan, in his book, Forgotten God, tells a story. And actually, Paul tells a story in 2 Corinthians 2. I'll read it from there. And the story is about when Moses went to the mountain. And now, God had told Moses to tell the Israelites, no one can touch the mountain, but Moses could go up on behalf of the people. And while Moses was up there, he asked God if he could look upon the glory of God. Now, God only let him see just a glimpse of the back of him. But even that, Moses came down and his face shone bright, so much so that the Israelites were even fearful. And Moses had to wear a veil over his face. And I want you to hear how Paul describes this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, if you'd like to turn there, you're more than welcome. Otherwise, I think there's some scripture up here. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Now, here, he's talking about Moses, and this was the first covenant. And he's ultimately saying this covenant was being brought to an end. Why? Well, because Jesus came with a new covenant. And so he's saying, look at the glory that came with the first covenant. Moses' face shone bright. He had to wear a veil. But man, we have a new covenant in Jesus. And he's saying, so we have this hope. And because of this hope, man, we are bold, right? There's this boldness and confidence that comes. He says, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read of the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Francis Chan, in his book, Forgotten God, talking about the Holy Spirit, talks about how so many times, so many Christians just come to church hoping to get a glimpse of Moses who has gone to the mountain. And I'm not saying that that's why you're here. But what I'm saying is that I, as Paul says here, that you and I, with unveiled faces, because of what Jesus did upon the cross, listen, the veil in the temple was torn. We now get to go into the Holy of Holies. We don't have to send Moses up to the mountain anymore. You and I get to go into the very presence of God. And yet, How often do we neglect it? How often do we, as someone who has said, I've been bought with a price, I've surrendered my life to the Lord, how often do we just go on living our own lives instead of coming into the presence of God and saying, God, here I am to be used by you. Here I am. Have your way with me. Here I am, just clay in your hand. What do you want me to be? Who do you want me to talk to? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to get turn away from? What part of self do I still want to control or decide for myself? And here the question is, why? Why? Why do you still want control? Have I truly surrendered to Jesus in such a way that we've given him complete ability to use us, transform us, shape us any way he wants to? And so, using the picture of the potter and the clay, will you allow him to mold you? Will you allow him to shape you? Will you allow him to use you in whatever way he so decides? Trust him. He's good. Trust him. He is faithful. In the way of application, are you a living sacrifice in the hands of the potter? And if so, then I want to challenge you. If not, even, I want to challenge you to start thinking about that. Surrender. Come to him. If you so desire to be, then I want to challenge you right now, this new year, what a great time, to say, from this day forward, I'm going to start off each day in God's word, in his presence, completely yielding myself to him. Will you renew your mind daily by spending time with God? His word, sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces bone and marrow. It is one that will shape us. Truth of God's word is living and active. Man, dive in. Listen, I can tell you honestly, when I first became a Christian, I was so intimidated by this book. I had never read a book with 60 or 70 pages, let alone hundreds, right? But I want to tell you, as you just open up and just say, Lord, here I am, show me, teach me, he will. He will. Read a paragraph at a time. If that's where you got to start somewhere. Lord, speak to my heart. Help me to follow you. Will you identify areas of control and surrender them to the Lord? Listen, we try to be in control of everything in our lives. Surrender them. Trust him. He's good. Daily be reminded of the grace and mercy of God that leads to worship and gratitude. I'm telling you, as we realize what God has done, that gratitude will overflow in our lives in obedience. Trust him. He's good. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, today we want to thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this call on our lives to come and sacrifice, to be living sacrifices, daily surrendered to you, that we would know your will, that we would follow you, that we would be transformed because of your truth, that your spirit would lead us to make an impact in other lives, and that we would so seek in everything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we would do it all for the glory of God. And so, God, I pray that today we would respond as you lead us. Today, if you are leading someone to surrender everything to you, to come to know you, to follow you, to trust you, I pray that right now they would so decide in their heart to trust you with everything, to lay everything down, and to do life your way. Lord, if there's someone here, maybe someone who has already trusted you, but for whatever reason, Lord, have not relinquished control, God, I pray that they too would respond in those ways. Help us to plan and protect time with you, to be sharpened by you, to be molded by you. God, lead us. Here we are. We love you so much. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.